My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The exclusive sponsor of Grant and Danny's, the law firm Kondorian Murad. Our buddies will guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. They're our guys. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Like my parents did, be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Beltway Blitz coming your way on the Nationals, the NFL, and the Commanders. Speaking of the Nats, they play tonight. Pregame at 6:10. First pitch at 6:40 in Miami. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, both had hits last night. They're both in the lineup. If you need to upgrade your gear, I'm on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page today wearing my Cruz Wood 24 t-shirt. Those are available for you. We've also got We've Got Wood hoodies for the fall and Cruz missile tees for the fall coming up as well. Get yours now at 1067thefanshop.com. Let's get to the Beltway Blitz. And Andrew Golden covers the Nationals for the Washington Post, joins us now. Andrew, I don't know that we've talked to you about this, so I actually want to go back a couple of weeks off the beaten path here. What did you make of the timing of all of the coaches being announced that they were coming back, and Davey just kind of, you know, in the middle of the still the stretch run, saying that that was the case?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I think especially when it came to the hitting staff, right? I mean, obviously when you look at the Nationals as a whole, I think you could definitely argue that they don't have the talent to really have the big numbers, but I definitely think they've struggled offensively this year. They're on pace for one of their worst years in franchise history offensively. So I was a little bit surprised they made the decision that early. The pitching staff, I don't have a problem with that, right? Like, the pitching staff has improved. I've been fine with the progress and the work that Jim Hickey and Sean Doolittle have done, but definitely was surprised about the hitting coaches. I definitely think there could have been some more decisions there on potentially letting some of those guys go. I think I was a little bit shocked for sure.
Well, in terms of hitting, Andrew, C.J. Abrams, the streakiness is a thing for him. He's had two unbelievable months where he's pretty much built up most of his counting stats, and then now working on, I'd say, 3 months where he's, I don't want to say a negative player, but has not been near as good as those two kind of banner months. If he's able to find some consistency, where are we at in terms of that for him, and you know, how aware of it is everybody, or are we just sort of saying, hey, he's a streaky player and that's that?
Yeah, I think they're definitely aware of it. That's why he's moved down the order, because he's really chasing off-speed pitches and really not changing his pitch. Whenever you ask CJ's not one to say a ton. The awesome you ask him, like, when is he at his best? He's like, I'm just staying on my pitch. And so he's not staying on his pitch. I think he's maybe pressing a little bit at the plate, trying to maybe do too much. So I think that's maybe why you're seeing him struggle. And so definitely streaky. I just think he has to sustain it for a full season. But I think, honestly, that's kind of the story of the whole team as a whole, right? Like, they've shown flashes for, you know, a couple months, 3 months at a time, but not for a full year. So I think it's kind of the story of the whole team as a whole.
C.J. Abrams. By the way, C.J. Abrams hitting 184 with a .242 on base over his last 30 games. Dylan Cruz has now played 7 games. He's got 2 homers and 2 steals already. What have you made of Cruz so far?
I think he just looks like he fits in, right? Like, he's playing a really good right field. His arm looks really strong there. And at the plate, he doesn't really look over fast. I think one of the things I was kind of interested in, especially compared to spring training, in spring training, he was really late on a ton of fastballs against major league competition. So I was really interested to see how he's adjusted. But he did a really good job of staying on the fastballs, staying on I think his first homer was a cutter or a fastball. So I think he did a really good job of preparing for that and adjusting for off speed and breaking ball. So I've been really impressed, and so I'm interested to see kind of how he continues that in the next couple of weeks.
Luis Garcia has been kind of an unheralded story here, Andrew. He's been really, really good. And, you know, for a while it was, you know, he's going to sit against lefties, but I guess now hopefully that's over with. I mean, is this sort of now, is he bona fide at this stage? He's putting together a pretty good major league campaign here, just outside of 20 homers, north of 20 steals, played a pretty decent second base. Not necessarily an all-world player who's going to walk a ton, but there's a lot of good with this Luis Garcia year. And it started with people wanting Trey Lipscomb at second base every day instead. So pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, I think I want to go on the record and say that, like, I really think Luis Garcia needs to be playing against lefties, like, every day. Like, he has been one of their better hitters. And, like, I don't want to see Odomar Vargas. I mean, I all respect Odomar Vargas and getting him playing time. But, like, you want to see what your young guys can do against lefties. And you might as well give them those opportunities. Like, I get, like, Chris Sale. Like, I get that, right? But I think generally against lefties, Luis should be still playing. I think he's been one of their better hitters this year. I think it's been a great story. And I think in terms of whether this is something he can continue, I think, like, you want to see, can he face, you know, lefty to be an everyday player? And so I think he can be. I think he has the potential to be that for sure. I just wish they play him honestly every day. I think they kind of have more recently. I think it's really impressive. And obviously, I think one of the things that we forget about is that I know Louis's been in the big leagues for, like, almost, 4 years now, but he's also, like, 23, 24, so he's still really young. I think we kind of forgot that in the process just because he was kind of the first prospect to really get there. But I think he's a ton of talent. I just think maybe we're seeing him produce at a high level just because he's more experienced now.
Andrew, we appreciate you as always, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
Got it. Nats, Marlins, 6:40 first pitch right here on the Fan tonight. Mackenzie Gore, 8-11 with a 4.45 ERA on the mound for Washington. All of our baseball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. And still save on every plan against AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's talk football. Our buddy Nate Davis, USA Today, joins us to do just that. Nate, I want to get your thoughts on the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I mentioned something earlier, and it's led to a conversation on my Twitter account. I don't know where the confidence in Rodgers having a great season comes from. He's in his 40s coming off a serious injury. I get why people would be hopeful, but I am curious, like, are you confident that the Jets are going to be really good and Rodgers is just going to look like Rodgers?
I mean, I picked them to win the Super Bowl.
So you are.
you would say confident?
All right, so where does the confidence come from? I mean, I don't know. It's just a serious injury, and he's an old guy.
It is a serious injury. He was obviously very well down the road to recovery to the point where he nearly played last season, maybe. But, I mean, he was out of practice, which isn't typical. But it's not like we're asking him to be Lamar Jackson. He looked very good in mobile camp this year. But, you know, to me, the main thing about this is, you know, the Jets have won 14 games over the past 2 years, have the second-ranked defense in the league over the past 2 years, basically playing with 10 guys on offense. I don't think you're asking Aaron Rodgers to go out there and win a fifth MVP award. But I mean, I think you're asking him to go out there and be a Pro Bowl level quarterback would be great. But I mean, even if he's not quite that, I mean, this team is completely loaded on both sides of the ball, just about everywhere else you look. You know, I don't know how Breece Hall was second in the league in yards from scrimmage last year. And everybody knew he was the only guy on offense because Garrett Wilson was, you know, handcuffed by the quarterback issues as well. I think you put a decent quarterback back there. I don't know where else this team has an issue personnel-wise.
Nate, which division did you have the toughest time predicting a winner for?
I mean, the AFC North is tough because obviously all the teams are good. They also all have, like, an issue in my mind, so that's not necessarily easy. I think maybe to me in some ways the most interesting is the AFC South because I think they've got three really – pretty good teams in there. And I think people forget, you know, with all the focus that the Houston Texans have understandably garnered this offseason, I think people forget that the Texans, the Jags, and the Colts all went into Week 18 last year with the scenario to win the division. And to me, the Jags and the Colts were both very hamstrung by personnel issues and injuries, and things kind of played out pretty well for the Texans. Now, that's not to take anything away from them, But, I mean, a year ago at this time, we thought the Jags were going to run this division for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, enter C.J. Stroud, enter Anthony Richardson. But I think that that's going to be, you know, nobody gets usually too stirred up about the AFC South, you know, in past years. But I think that's going to be a very one to see how it plays out. Maybe have multiple teams in the playoffs.
Nate Davis, USA Today with us on Grant and Danny here on our Beltway Blitz. How about the Seahawks in the NFC West? It's a team that I just don't hear a lot about. I know San Francisco, the LA Rams are pretty good. But is Geno Smith going to finish the season? Do they turn things over to Sam Howell at some point? Like, where are they at this point in their build?
Yeah, they're to me, one of the hardest teams in the league to read. You know, I feel like they have, like, a lot of square pegs and round holes going on there. Like, I'm not sure Mike McDonald's really going to be able to run the defense, you know, the way he wants with the players he has, as he did in Baltimore. I mean, he has said that he really wants to run the ball, which is a good way to help your defense and what he's used to coming from Baltimore. Then they go out and hire Ryan Grubb, who's never been an NFL coach and like to run, you know, five wide receivers at the University of Washington. And the Seahawks are kind of built to throw the ball and not run it, particularly with some of their offensive line issues. So they could be very interesting. I just don't know what direction they're going to go, what they're going to look like, if this offense is actually going to work. I mean, to your point, yeah, maybe Sam Howell gets in there. You know, maybe Geno Smith kind of reversed the 2022 form. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Ryan Grubb, the OC, has said he's trying to tailor the offense to Geno's strength and what he does well. Again, he likes to throw the ball, and they have three really good receivers on that side of the ball. But I just kind of wonder if it's not really going to – it seems like a lot of misaligned parts to me. And I'm guessing they're like a six-win team, that maybe the scores are closer than that. But it's hard for me to get too excited about them. I don't know.
Barring injury, because, you know, we go back a couple years talking about Dallas here, Nate, where Dak Prescott was injured. They were, I think, 6-10 or something like that with Andy Dalton at quarterback. But barring a significant injury to one of their few key guys, give me kind of the best case for Dallas and the worst case for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I think best case is it's another 12-win season, and then to me, that's the best case. Like, I don't see them coming out of the NFC, you know, breaking a three-decade Super Bowl drought. I think the best case is kind of what we've seen the last couple of years with Mike McCarthy. You know, the worst case, obviously, is the bottom falls out. I think it's probably – I mean, I've got them winning 8 games. I think that, you know, it's great they've got CeeDee Lamb back. It's great that Dak Prescott hasn't gone anywhere yet. Throw all that out. I mean, to me, they're a diminished version of what they were last year, giving all the losses they had on free agency. How is the defensive switch going to go from Dan Quinn's philosophy to Mike Zimmer's? De'Ron Bland is going to miss the first part of the season. They're all corner. Like, I just can't find a whole lot of reasons to get too excited about this team. I mean, the running back situation is a complete mystery. I don't know. I mean, you guys know that the NFC turns over like every year for the last 20 years. So I think it's the Eagles. And then I personally think the Commanders have a great shot to overtake the Cowboys this year. But we'll see how it goes.
Wow. Love that. Nate, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
All right, fellas. Thanks.
See you, bro. Be good. Let's localize the combo. Our pal, Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan Show over on the Team 980. Kevin, why don't we start with what you're most excited to see when you turn that TV on at 4:25 on Sunday afternoon?
Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels and what the offense looks like. I think that's the biggest mystery going in. I mean, you've got an established defensive head coach, an established defensive coordinator, you know, probably 9 new pieces on defense. So there's mystery there, but, you know, most of the players they brought in are veteran players. I'm just really curious to see what that offense looks like. Is it, you know, a quarterback and pistol with dual threat? You know, is he, you know, running zone read 30% of the time? How does that benefit, you know, Brian Robinson Jr., the play action game? You know, do they go under center and run, you know, some bootleg and play action? I'm just really interested to see what that looks like, because I think Kingsbury's good. I think he's focused on one job versus being the head coach the last time he was in the league. So I'm excited to see that Sunday.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm with you. That, to me, is the question, right, coming into the season. Obviously, big picture, Jaden Daniels, what he is and what he's going to be. But secondarily and related to that is what this offense looks like. Gun to your head, what's your best guess? Is it just what we saw in Arizona? As you said, like a lot of shotgun, a lot of, you know, everything kind of out of that look with Terry McLaurin on the left side? Or do you think there's, hey, you know, Kingsbury's bounced around now a little bit. He's got some new tricks up his sleeve. This is like the 2.0 version of that. Or do you think it's more of what we saw in Arizona?
I mean, my hunch, Danny, is that it's like a responsible approach. Rookie quarterbacks need a running game. They need quick game. They need a big tight end that they can throw to, and that they leverage all that in addition to a lot of the stuff you see with dual threat quarterbacks, you know, going back to 2012, what we saw with Robert and what you see with Lamar and Justin Fields and a lot in Jalen Hurts. I think we'll have a lot of that mixed in as well. But I think Brian Robinson Jr. is in for a big year, like plenty of carries, James Conner level carries that Kingsbury gave him in 2021 in Arizona. And he'll benefit from a lot of the, you know, the Shanahan 11 on 11 in the run game where the quarterback's involved and there's an advantage there. I think that's what we're going to see. But I think there will be a lot of responsible play calling where they do emphasize, you know, not balance for balance sake, but because they've got a quarterback that can be involved in the run game as well. And then a lot of the quick game stuff that even we saw in preseason, it won't be identical, but getting the ball out of his hands quickly into, you know, playmakers' hands. I think we'll see backs catch the ball a lot. I think we'll see Zach Ertz be a big part of what they do.
Kevin, what'd you think of the Sam Cosmi extension, 4 years, $74 million?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys have been talking about it as well. I think that the first of all, it's the first one, and it's an indication of kind of how this ownership in front office will handle some of these situations. So to get a player like Cosmi signed before the season to an extension to completely nullify, you know, the potential for him making it to unrestricted free agency was smart. He's definitely a good player, if not an excellent player, and he's really good in terms of, I think, the intangibles that will fit with the culture they're trying to build. So I thought it was coming all along. I thought it made sense for them to get it done before the season started, so I'm glad to see it.
Kevin, I haven't heard you specifically weigh in on this. I just want to sort of two-parter here. If you're more big picture, maybe this year and kind of beyond, where wins are almost secondary to you, obviously you'd rather win than lose, but so I'd love your answer to that. But then two, in terms of win totals or the like about this year, what would disappoint you? Like what level would they have to get to where you go, man, that's kind of a bummer, or you'd maybe lose a little confidence?
Well, I think if you go back and look at just the last 5 years, like any team that wins five or less games had pretty bad quarterbacking. You know, some of those examples are, you know, good quarterbacks got hurt, so they were playing backups. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you win five or less, it's a pretty good bet that your quarterbacking was bad. So that would be disappointing because I think at the end of the day, what we all want to feel after 17 games is – there's a strong indication that they got it right with Jaden Daniels. With that said, like, I think they're in that group of 25 teams where, you know, you stay healthy, the ball bounces your way, catch a couple of good teams on days in which they have some key players out, you know, 10 and 7 is the range. And I kind of view them that way this year. It's a completely different team to kind of look at it in the context of last year, different coaching staff and 30 new players, 17 of whom will be on the field a lot, we think, you know, from Sunday on. So, and a lot of those players are veteran players. So I think they're in that group of teams we see every year, take four or five from the top out of the equation, two or three out of the bottom out of the equation where, you know, 7-10 to 10-7 is possible.
Kevin, always great. Thank you, buddy, and enjoy week one.
All right, boys.
See ya.
Thank you, bud.
Kevin Sheehan. Check him out. His work, Daily Kevin Sheehan Show. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. The Harris Ownership Group has their first off-field fire to put out. We'll get into that. Plus, 6.5 wins is Washington's total on the betting market. Are we going over or under that next on The Fan?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is football week in the nation's capital. The Commanders open with the Bucks on Sunday. The NFL season kicks off tomorrow, so lots to get into still on our docket, including want to go over or under with the 6.5 win total for the Commanders and take some of your calls on that. This story dropped before we went on the air today. You and I saw this and have not addressed it, haven't really talked about it. I don't know exactly what we should do with it, but I do think we should at least bring it up so that people know that it happened. And that was that the Commanders have suspended Vice President of Content Rael Antin, who is on his fourth year now with the club, was hired presumably when they made a lot of the changes in the Jason Wright era, coinciding with that. But the fourth year running content, so all things honestly they do really well, like mm-hmm. the Commanders log show on YouTube and their social media accounts and some of the fun stuff that they do is under his purview, I would imagine. I don't know this person at all. I never met him, and honestly, I've never heard his name before today. But he was on camera saying a bunch of things that the Commanders have come out and put out a statement to say does not in any way reflect their values. Some of the comments, as you can imagine, have made national headlines. He said things like, some players in the league are dumb as hell, was quoted as saying, I don't think the commissioner of the NFL hates gay people, hates black people. Jerry Jones, who really runs the NFL, I think he hates those two groups. It's really gross, and it's awful, and the Commanders have made a statement. They've suspended him already, and that's kind of that for me. I think it should also be noted, Danny, that this content was gathered by the O'Keefe Media Group, who I'm not familiar with, but it looks like a date with a hidden camera at a bar or at a table yeah. in a bar. Where this Rael Antin met a woman on social media on the app Hinge. They went on two dates at a local restaurant. And in one of those dates, presumably, is when this video was recorded without him knowing. And she's basically sounds like a reporter, like asking him questions. I'm assuming it was over in a date-like setting, and he thought he wasn't being recorded, if I had to guess. But regardless, said a lot of things that are inappropriate at best and downright egregious at worst. I know fans are upset for a lot of different reasons, including some of the comments that I just read, but he also called fans mouth breathers, said that most of the fans of the NFL are high school educated alcoholics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's some really, really like vile stuff here. So I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but I did want to at least address it and say, yes, we've seen the story. It's a guy, I know a lot about the team and I'm super plugged in. I'd never heard of this person.
Which is probably good, by the way.
It's not like a member of the coaching staff or a player, so I'm not really sure what we should do other than tell you that it's not a good look. The team has already suspended this person, and that's that, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, several points, if I may. A lot of fans are upset, mostly, I think, because of the part where there's a disdain and looking down on the fans in these comments. Again, high school educated alcoholics or mouth breathers or, you know, looking down on people. There's kind of that an attitude in this video. So I'll put a pin in that and kind of come back to it. There is absolutely a place in our society for investigative journalism, right? Whether it's hidden camera footage or otherwise, trying to catch bad actors behaving badly, fraudsters, people that take advantage of folks, people, you know, with faulty business practices, illegal activity. Local news, I mean, has done stuff like that before. National news has. There is a place for that, exposing wrongdoing. I don't know what we're exposing here. What criminal act has taken place? What nefarious thing has gone on here? Why are we doing this? Why are we tricking a team employee into revealing his attitude about his customer base or his views on the NFL on a hidden camera? I don't understand that. That's the part to me I can't get past. I know everybody wants to talk about the comments, but I got to hit that first. Okay, you got him. You ruined this dude's life, probably. Now, again, he needs to be responsible for his viewpoints and things he says, but that leads me to my second point. Grant, you can hate my guts. And there are some days, I bet you do. Some days you're probably super annoyed with me. There are some days probably where if Darius came in with a hidden camera on me, I've said some things about our parent company or somebody else, and I've put my foot in my mouth in such a way where if people saw that, they would think differently of me. And I would challenge everybody else out there to be able to say you're scot-free of those sorts of things, having kind of private conversations. But beyond that, I don't care what people think of me in that way. How do you treat me? If he's awful to people that are his customers and that he works with, that's a different story. What you do to me is far more important than your attitude or what you think. Like the guy that got me my iced coffee today could think I'm just the worst person of all time, a overweight gas bag that needs a lot of attention just to get through his day. He could think anything he wants. He said, thank you. He said, you're welcome. And he asked me if there's anything else I needed. You know what I mean? Like, he treated me well, so we move about our day and move about our life. How did he treat folks? I have no idea. We're going to judge somebody based on a very short hidden camera thing that, again, I don't know why we were doing that in the first place. So, now, the third part. Tough to see those comments, man. Tough to see him delivering those sorts of things. And, it's the kind of thing where you go, I don't have a ton of sympathy on that front for this part of it. Because again, looking down on your customer base, looking down on your fans, and the one to me that really got me or would be frustrating is he referenced specifically the leaky pipe situation where he said, no, it wasn't sewage. We had to tell him it was rainwater. That's state media. He basically admitting that they lied about that.
Right.
That to me would be frustrating as a fan, right? As somebody that's a paying customer or somebody that had kind of opted into this part of it where you're going, if I can't believe that, then what else am I supposed to believe from you guys? So it kind of hurts the mission. It hurts the overall experience. But I'm with you. And it's in the sense that this is not really, they play football this Sunday. We're a sports show. We care about that far more. I know fans are irritated about this, and I get that.
And we look,
but that's kind of where I'm at.
I'll say this. We cover a lot of things that aren't sports that are tangentially related. This would be under that purview. And if this was Dan Quinn or Adam Peters or Josh Harris on this video and not a guy, again, I don't want to belittle the point here, but I've never heard of this person. Mm-hmm. I'm at that facility a lot. I don't keep up with who runs their content. I'm sorry. Has anyone heard of this guy before this? I mean, 99% of our listeners, I would say, have not. They have suspended him as well, by the way. My guess is he will never work for them again. They probably have fired him and we don't know it at this point. Next. I mean, he did a thing that was bad. They've acted. I am curious to see, just because it's the first, I keep saying, a fire for them to put out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first big controversy.
It's a bad PR thing.
Yeah. What I'm not going to do, though, is I think the easy reaction, the layup drill here is, my team's always in the news for things that aren't football. I'm so tired of it. Same old team. This is not that. You know, this is not the DEA raiding your building because you're training staff led by Ryan Vermillion, was doing something wrong, or your owner having a toxic workplace or sexual harassment allegations. This is a guy, a single dude, who was on a dating app, who met a girl that he went on a date with.
On a second date, yeah.
Who, on a second date, recorded him without him knowing it and asked a bunch of questions for his thoughts about things and, you know, his take on Jerry Jones and the commissioner and all this stuff. That is not the same as some of the other things of the Snyder era, in my opinion. The team put out this statement. The language used in the video runs counter to our values at the Commanders organization. A team spokesperson said in a statement, "We have suspended the employee pending an investigation and will reserve further comment at this time." So we'll see what happens. I mean, if he gets fired or if he doesn't, we can react again at that time. The comments are bad.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for me to condemn them, I do. Making fun of, speaking down at players, at fans, obviously pretty abhorrent. I also, and this is not going to be the takeaway probably in a lot of places, you've alluded to this, but I can't get past this is supposedly journalism. Like that also matters to me a little bit too, right? Was that there was this line in the ESPN story where they referenced the reporter as an undercover reporter. No, that's not. This is a date where someone's recording you. I don't know that that's the same thing. Like if I think I'm on a date with someone and they're asking me questions about my job, and you're really just working for a group where you're recording me and I don't know it, which by the way, how's that even legal? I guess you're in a public place, so maybe you're allowed to record whatever you want. But I know in some states there are laws where you can't record a conversation with Danny and play it
without his consent.
So I don't know the specifics of that. I just think that sounds scummy and awful. I don't know anything about this media group, but it sounds like a horrendous way to make a living. Having said that, the comments were bad. The team's already suspended him, so that's kind of what I got.
Yeah, I mean, again, if this was an investigation to uncover some of the terrible things that happened during the Snyder era, by all means, let's get the camera in there. Let's find out.
Is the juice worth the squeeze? Are you taking down the bad actors who have done bad things?
Right. There's no crime here, as far as I can tell.
So what is the takeaway or the big story is that this guy who no one knew before today said that some NFL players are dumb and that, you know, he was that comment's bad. I agree. Yeah. Or that fans are mouth breathers. That comment is bad. I agree. But this guy's opinion is the takeaway that this employee said this. Okay, so fire him, and what's next? I mean, and good job. You caught him. You caught this guy
right with
your hidden camera.
And that's kind of my point is what I keep going back to is there is absolutely a place at the table for when nothing is happening and everyone knows, or not everyone knows, but we suspect wrongdoing, like actual wrongdoing, crime occurring, or you know, defrauding people, or taking advantage of vulnerable folks, or something.
People not getting their season ticket money back.
Yeah,
sexual harassment.
You got a hidden camera on that bad boy. Let's go. Let's catch the people red handed. Let's do it to catch a predator. I'm not even being flippant about it. You're finding someone that's doing something wrong. A guy's opinion. It sucks. I mean, it's not cool to hear that I'm a mouth breathing high school educated alcoholic or whatever. that I'm supposed to be insulted because I'm, you know, beneath him. But it sounds like a cynical guy trying to impress a girl. You know, talking tough, trying to say a bunch of things to impress her. Again, I don't endorse the comments. I don't agree with them. I think that's wrong. But I don't know, man. It's like, I guess you got your fish. Like, way to go. Like, you reeled it in. I don't know. We should reserve that for some more serious matters, in my humble opinion. But that's where I'm at.
My main interest will be how does the Harris Group handle it? Because this is their first opportunity to do so. But I don't get the sense with most of the fan base that this is a huge ordeal today. I think most people that are adults, hearing someone say fans are mouth-breathing alcoholics, whatever the term is, here's what I do when I hear that. I'm a fan, by the way. He's talking about me. Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, there are going to be people that are aggrieved and can't go on with their day and how dare you insult me. I have three kids and a mortgage. I have two car payments. I have a life. I'm a grown-up. I don't care if that was his comment in private to a woman he's trying to impress and get a laugh out of about football fans. I'm sorry. I just don't. Now, there are things he said that are bad, and if you take offense to them, you're allowed to. I'm sorry that anybody got offended. And he's in trouble, by the way. You know, that's the other thing is sometimes we're like screaming as if something needs to be done. He's already lost his job, probably. What else do you want them to do for his opinions that you don't like on a hidden camera? How and why him, by the way? I've never heard of this person. I know more people in that building by face than 99% of the public. I know this guy's on the website, so if you're big into their content game, you probably know him. If you would have said to me an hour before that came out, who is, I have to look up his name again to say it. Is it Ray Allentine?
Sounds right.
Who is that? I would say, I never heard of that
person. I have no idea.
I don't know. So they work for the Commanders. What does he do? I would have gone, I don't know. Is he in the R&D department? I have no idea. So I just, you'll have to forgive me on the Wednesday of week one. And if you're saying I'm focusing on the wrong thing, then I'll wear that criticism. I'm on to Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
And I wonder if fans, you know, sort of want to extrapolate something larger as if that's the attitude of, you know, all those that are holdovers from this era. You know, if you want to sort of also somehow make it about Jason Wright or something like that. I've seen some of that sentiment. I just, again, I don't know. I'm not willing to do anything other than say this group went out of their way to try to catch this guy doing this, which I think is a fool's errand and a big waste of time. I feel bad.
Should people, by the way, not go on dates? Like, we need to not normalize whatever this area of journalism. I'm not even going to call it journalism because it's not.
Right.
Or reporting. It's also not that. Like, whatever this is should not be okay. And I would hate for this conversation to be had around the country today where we're just talking about what the guy said, which is important without saying the other part, which is he was literally on a date and a hidden camera caught him talking. That is unacceptable in every way, in my opinion. Unacceptable. And everyone should think that. Even if you're bothered by the comments, that's okay, too. We're big boys and girls. We can have two conversations. But to sit at a table on a second date with someone you're trying to get to know who's asking you for your opinion about your job, and candidly you're answering, and they're poking and prodding and trying to get more info, and then they record that, and they give it to someone to post on social media to get you fired, for I don't know what reason. The whole thing is weird and creepy and shouldn't even be an industry as far as I'm concerned. But let's get back to football next. 6.5 wins is the projected total for the Commanders. Are we over under that? Booger McFarland joins us at the top of the hour. He will know that he's on the air when he joins us right at 5 on Grant and Danny. Booger McFarland at the top of the hour on Grant and Danny. I want to kick our 6.5 win topic to next hour because we don't have enough time really to get into it in great detail. So we will do that at 5:25, try to see if people are over under that win total with their predictions for the Commanders this season. Did you see Ja'Marr Chase return to Bengals practice today?
Now, did he like return to practice to watch or did he return to practice in like football gear?
Bengals received the most positive sign they could get on Wednesday. Wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase participated in the first official practice of game week ahead of the team's season opener against the Patriots on Sunday. That is according to ESPN.com. So I would think that means Ja'Marr Chase is going to play this weekend. This is day one of what is truly the install and the practices that matter.
Uh-huh.
So the NFL week, for those of you that aren't overly plugged in on how it goes, you play Sunday. Monday is normally a rest and recovery day, treatment day. There's a lot of film watched in the building. Some guys are in and out of the building getting any kind of work they need done on their bodies. Tuesday is the league-mandated off day. Very rarely, but occasionally, teams can flip that up. Like some coaches will have, I think a couple years ago, Rivera did it, where Monday was the off day, and then Tuesday guys were in the building for different treatment and film and stuff. But normally Tuesday is a mandated off day. You're supposed to go do some charity work, be around the family, whatever. Wednesday is the key day of the practice week. That is when you put in your longest, most grueling practice, theoretically, of the week. Thursday is kind of right there with it. Friday is more of a jog through a lot of time for teams. A lot less work gets done on Friday, a little quicker off the field. And then Saturday is a walkthrough, and if you're on the road, you jump on a flight. If you were at home, you head to the team hotel for some meetings and things the night before the game, and you just have the quick walkthrough in the morning. So I say all that to say that this week, right now, if you're Ja'Marr Chase, today's the day you got to show up if you're going to play on Sunday, starting now. And he did. So that tells me he plans on playing football, and in a game of chicken, the Bengals won.
Yeah, there's something about deadlines and action and spurring up. I'll think of it. But yeah, I mean, that's what it seems like, right? There's so much posturing that can be done, and really you're skipping out on all the pain in the butt stuff, all the hard stuff. Now it's the fun part, right? You got enough pelts on the wall if you're Ja'Marr Chase, where, you know, Trent Williams style, maybe you don't need all the grueling two-a-days. I know nobody does that anymore, but maybe you don't need the August practice in the humidity. Maybe, though, once it's time, you want to earn all your money, you want to have a really good season, I'll show up. I'm in shape. I've been running sprints, but now let's do game plan type stuff and let's have a good football season. Because I sort of lost it, to your point.
So I don't think he's going to be paid before Sunday. I think a lot of people suggested he would recently, that was maybe going to happen. It doesn't sound like it. And if he showed up, I don't know now why the team would cave, because you got what you wanted anyway. But eventually he's going to get his money. They're not going to let that guy walk. They're not going to play the tag game. He'll get more than Jefferson got, probably, because he'll be the next guy to get paid, and they'll move on. But in the meantime, him, T. Higgins, Joe Burrow, that's the trio. Everyone else is kind of playing second fiddle. That is a Super Bowl caliber team. With that quarterback, they have a chance to dethrone the Chiefs this year and make sure they don't get to a third straight. But you're not doing it without Ja'Marr Chase. With all apologies to Burrow and Higgins and their running game, there's just no way. You need that explosiveness. You need that playmaker. He is a strike-up-the-band weapon. He is a chunk yardage guy in a big play league. And having him back completely changes my outlook on the Bengals. They'd have beat the Patriots with or without him, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think New England's going to stink.
I do, too.
But the I-line with Chase in their first 7-8 games is probably in a half season like 2 wins. Instead of being 5-3, maybe you would have been 3-5, something like that. I mean, it's that different for me with just the easy button he provides.
So I can't point to every example, and I apologize for that, but I will say there is a perception out there that the Bengals are like, they're known very much for being cheap, for not paying players. Now, they obviously paid Joe Burrow, but maybe that's kind of the exception. They kind of have this rep as a team that doesn't do the highest bid, that doesn't do the guaranteed money to the same degree, whether that's deserved or otherwise. That's the rep that's out there, or certainly very much online as people type in all caps and yell about this kind of situation. So I haven't ruled out them doing the tag game. It's a long way for me to say that they maybe just out of defiance or some sort of temper tantrum will avoid giving him the market value long-term contract that he seeks, just so they say they didn't necessarily do that. I have no idea.
I'm steamed up to talk to our guy Booger McFarland next. Remember the Booger Mobile on the sideline on Monday Night Football?
I do.
When he used to sit like way up high and they'd wheel him back and forth. People were mad because it was this big, it was basically on a crane, but it was like this big setup with a desk. He'd be in front of the fans. I love Booger McFarland.
Yep.
He joins us next right here on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.